Please turn again in your Bibles. John chapter 8, we're picking up our reading at verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins, for whither I go ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go ye cannot come? He said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that said unto you from the beginning, I have written, or I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's bow, please, together in prayer. Father, as we come now to the closing moments of our time tonight, drawing the end of the Lord's day, we ask Thee, Father, to bless us, thankful for this time of fellowship, of worship, prayer. And now as we come to the opening of the Scripture, bless our hearts. Give to us, I pray, understanding. Fill me with Thy Spirit, Lord, for I need that power from heaven to speak the Word of God plainly. And I pray that everyone here will understand the word. No one would leave saying, I am confused, I did not get it. Lord, I pray that each one will understand the way of life, the word of truth, and what is expected and required of us. Dear Father, be with us now tonight, we pray. Encourage every heart. Father, we are so thankful for answering our prayers. prayers spoken in silence, prayers that are spoken in the heart that no one else knows of. And these prayers are answered. And at other times, Lord, when we come together and we seek Thee in corporate worship and we pour out our hearts, these prayers are heard. And Lord, You have promised to answer according to Thy divine will. Draw near to us now tonight and hear us and bless us. For we ask these things in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. So this chapter that we have read is action-packed, and it gives us a glimpse of the Lord's ministry, and specifically in the temple, as He went to teach the people. Whatever the Pharisees thought about the Lord, they could not deny that He had authority and that people listened to Him. And as He came into the temple, He sat down to teach the people, and many gathered around Him. Of course, the accusers and those who were disbelievers, they came readily with their questions, challenging, doubting, assuming that this was some sort of a charlatan that had come to put forward his own agenda. And as the Lord turned the temperature up in His teaching toward these people, He said to them, as we have already read here tonight, that the fact they would not receive His ministry and believe that He had come from the Father, they asked the question, "Who is your Father?" And He responded to them, "Neither have you known Me, and you certainly do not know My Father." And Jesus said to them, when they asked Him that question, in verse 25, "Then said they unto Him, Who art thou? Jesus saith unto him, Even the same that said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but He that sent Me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him." And then you will notice, down in verse 28, Jesus said unto them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He," and the "He" is in italics. And so the Lord Jesus said twice in this chapter, within a couple of verses, when He was letting them know who He was, He said to them, "I am." Now, of course, the Jews knew very clearly what He meant by that. Jesus was declaring who He was and what His intention was for them. They had rejected Him. And yet, you know, the Lord told us in John chapter 1 that as He spake unto His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. And so there were some of the Jews that received His word and that believed on Him. That very clearly is shown to us in verse 30. "And He spake," or as He spake these words, in the temple, in the treasury, when some had just rejected Him, and that whole scene of the adulterous woman being brought and Him releasing her. And yet, the accusations did not cease then, but many of the Jews believed on Him. And that encourages us, because though many had rejected Him and refused Him, unto whomsoever the Lord had placed His hand of grace upon and had called them out unto Himself, they believed on Him. Even as we noted in Acts 13, last Lord's Day, how that of the Greeks that received the word, that were ordained unto eternal life, they believed on the Lord. The verse I want to leave with you tonight is in verse 31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed." Going forward with God. Going ahead with the Lord. That is the goal and should be the desire of every single Christian. Friend, is it your heart's desire tonight? Because these people who had heard the words of Christ and who had believed on Him, and they took His truth into their own hearts, and they were converted. They believed on Him. And His word to them, "If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed." You see, the first step for them was belief. It was faith. And no man can come to know the Lord Jesus if they do not have faith in Him and what He has done on the cross for them. And so that first step is vital for everyone. And I would say to you here tonight, friend, if you are not a believer, if you are not a Christian, then you must come in simple faith to receive what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary for you. And He says this same word to every one of us tonight who are truly saved by the Lord's grace. We are to continue in His word. Jonah, when he was in the submarine at the bottom of the sea, he said, "Salvation is of the Lord." Salvation is of the Lord. And these very people experienced that. And the evidence that they were genuinely converted, the evidence that they were saved by the Lord's grace, was that, will they continue in His truth? And friend, if you've made a profession of faith sometime in your life, maybe when you were young, maybe when you were so young that you can't even have much of a memory of it, but if you made a profession of faith then, but you've never really seen an advancement in your Christian walk, is it possible that you are not actually a Christian? Is it possible that it was some emotional thing for you at that time? The real evidence that you are a disciple of Christ is by continuing in His word. And that's the truth He has given us tonight. And what is the proof? Well, the proof will be seen in a love for His word. The word of God is the unsearchable scripture of revelation that God has given. And He has told us that we are to abide in His word. We are to see our life conformed to the scripture, because in so conforming our life to the scripture, we are conforming our life to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And if we have a love for Him, we will necessarily have a love for the Word of God, because we love the God of the Word. Friend, is that your heart tonight? Is the scripture held up in a supreme position in your own life? Do you draw from the scripture your spiritual food, the strength that you need for everyday life? Oh, my friend, if the scripture is set aside and you only acknowledge it when you come to the Lord's house on His day, and from Monday to Saturday it remains a closed book, it's never opened, it's never considered, it's never consulted, it's never meditated over to memorize and bring it into your heart, how then will we grow? Do you hold the Word of God in high esteem tonight? If you find that there is a lack of joy, a lack of purpose, a lack of fulfillment in your own heart, it may well be because you have left the Lord's Word. And once we have left the Scripture, we have really left our first love. That was the problem that the Lord found with some of the seven churches in Asia. Because they had many things to going for them, and they had many things whereby the Lord commended them, but in leaving the first love, they had in truth left the honoring of the Lord's Word. Their heart was not in His truth. And you say, well, how does a person augment or build up a love for the Scripture? Friend, the way is to put your heart and soul into the reading of the Word. You say, well, it's very hard sometimes because reading through some of the Old Testament portions, they become very difficult to understand. And that's why in your Bible reading, it's very healthy and good to read a section from the Old Testament and a section from the New Testament. And many daily reading plans have this. So it is good for us to bear the meat of the Old Testament, the meat of the New Testament, and put them both together. And the more that you disciple yourself, discipline yourself in the Word, my friend, you will find that your love for the truth of God increases. Reading is important, but sometimes we know that we can read the Scripture passively. You know what I mean. You read a page or half a paragraph or a chapter, and by the time you finish, you really don't know what you just read. It's gone in your ear and out the other side. It has not fixed itself in your mind. Why? Because you're reading, but you're not really actively reading. You're passively reading. And you're not taking in the meat of the Scripture. That's why it's important for us, I believe, to pray before we read the Scripture and ask that the Lord's Spirit will be upon us to understand, to take in, to remember what we have read, and to take to heart those things to our own soul. Yes, friend, if we are to continue in the Word of God, the proof of discipleship will be a love for the Word. But also another proof will be obedience to that Word we have read. The Lord said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and my commandments are not grievous." If you are ignorant of God's Word, if you don't know it, then you are not going to be so alert to the defenses that you have at your disposal when Satan comes to bring his temptations against you. And the more we immerse ourselves in the Scripture with a love for the Word, then we are also, in essence, praying for an obedient heart to the Scripture, and we want to follow the Lord in the pathway He sets down for us. Do you, believer, want to obey the Lord's Word? Do I really want to follow on in His pathway? And I think that if you were to ask yourself that question, you would definitely answer on the inside, well, yes, I do. I want to be obedient to His Word. And so there's the warfare of the new man that is to be ascending and the old man that is to descend. And Paul said, I have to crucify the flesh every day. Because the old nature does not want to submit itself to obey is the Scripture. No, friend, we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt us in due time and give us a heart to obey His Word. Some people would ask, well, for the New Testament Christian, what really are the commandments that God sets for us? What do you mean by obeying the Word? How and what does that look like? Well, very clearly, the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, which expresses the moral law of God, has not been set aside in this day of gospel grace. It is still dishonoring to the Lord to steal. It is still dishonoring to commit adultery. And so the Ten Commandments are very much a part of the life and the heart and the soul of the child of God. And every one of those commandments has application to us in our everyday life. Therefore, we do well to pray as an evidence for our love for the Lord and of our discipleship of following Him. It will be in obedience. But there is also the proof that we desire in this obedience to live for and like our Master. And how will this be done? When we think about our prayer life, we look to the Lord's prayer life, and we see He gave us the excellent and the perfect example. and how he prayed and communed with his heavenly Father, and he poured out his heart to him. And you read the prayer of John 17. Or you read the expression of the varying prayers that the Lord Jesus offered, and you find his prayers were very open, very heart-directed. And that's how we are to pray unto God. We are to come to him and we are to say, Lord, give me a heart desire for your things, and that I might be a living example. Yes, we are brought into faith by the grace of God. Salvation is of the Lord, and we rejoice in that great mercy of God of bringing us into that relationship with him. But we also know this, that our sanctification is by the Lord's grace and power in our lives as well. So we are to desire to be like the Master in our prayer life. We are to learn to be like him in the attributes that he had of love, of grace, of patience. If we say that we belong to him, if we say that we are in union with him, then, believer, tonight we are to walk in the living example that he set for us. For he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as Jesus walked. The Savior did no sin. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sin. We are called to be holy as he is holy. And so in prayer, in patience, in piety, in these areas in our life, we are called to be like him. And then perhaps we get discouraged as we're thinking this morning in our message, because we see that we are failing and that we're like the broken and bruised reed. We're like the candle, the wick that does not have much light. And we pray, oh God, help us, enable us, strengthen our hands that we might be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Jesus said to these believing Jews, if you are genuine, if you are a true disciple of mine, the evidence will be that you will continue in my word. But there is also a continuance in the promises of the word. And what does that produce for the child of God but confidence with God and with men? So continuing in the scripture, continuing in the word of God, continuing to abide in the truth of the promises of God's word, what does that do for us? Well, it gives us confidence with God and confidence with men. This type of confidence that the scripture speaks about is in no way the self-confidence where we boast that we have all that we need of self and we don't need any help otherwise. We know that's not the case. But when we abide in Christ, we're able to say, as the apostle did, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And today, believer, we have that joy of living in the center of his will and of knowing that it is the power of God that enables me to live when I have no power of my own. I am out of strength. But it is the Lord's Spirit that abides within us that gives us that strength. For all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in him, amen. That verse is found in 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. For all the promises of God are in Christ. Yes, they are confirmed in him. And in him they are amen. That's the completion of it. So everything we have in the Word of God, it's confirmed in Christ and it's completed in him. And we find that the Lord is our all in all. Friend, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. Is he your friend tonight? Do you know him as Savior? Do you love Him as your Lord this evening? Friend, take the promises of the Word of God that are given to us in the Scripture. Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. That word that Peter gives to us is a precious word. It's a blessed one, because these promises that are given to us in the Scripture, why, they are there to be taken to ourselves in the Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When Jacob, for example, was at Peniel and he met with God, the Lord changed him and he became Jacob, from Jacob to Israel, a prince having power with God and with men. He was now a partaker of what God was doing in him and through him. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. There is confidence in the Word of God, in the promise of the Lord's Word, His abiding presence with the child of God. And that will strengthen us as we go on our journey and in our way. Turn over, please, with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 17. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. My, here the Lord Jesus is telling us that we have forgiveness of our sins. That is the promise of the Lord's Word. And we are enabled and invited to draw near into the presence of the Lord based upon the ground of the finished work of our Savior. And we are able to rest upon that promise and take the Lord at His Word and come with that boldness into His presence. No man forbidding us. Oh, sometimes, yes, Satan would say, you're too sinful. You're too unworthy. You sinned again, believer, and you're not worthy to come into God's presence. Thank God for that word. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And therefore I have joy, I have confidence, I'm able to come into God's presence. And it's an evidence that I am a child of God. It's an evidence I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus. For I want to continue in His Word. I love the Word. I love the Christ of the Word. And that testimony of His love is that which enables me to go on and be a light for Him. Even though sometimes our light may be dim, the Lord does not exterminate or put that light out. Friends, the Lord is gracious to us. He encourages us. He wants us to be a testimony for Him. He wants us to go on and to continue in the grace that has been started in our own life. Then there is also continuance in the Word brings spiritual purity and prosperity. Continuance in the Word brings spiritual purity and prosperity. There is purity or cleansing by the very application of the word in our daily experience. Why else did the psalmist say that wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The scripture has a cleansing property. Now we know that we're cleansed from our sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's a judicial cleansing in our justification. But we also know that by submitting our mind, our intellect, our way under the scripture, that will alter our thinking. It will purify our thought processes. And in so doing, a young man, an old man, will be able to cleanse his way, to cleanse his path, to cleanse his life by abiding in the scriptures. You see, continuance in the word, it will bring for us and to us a spiritual purification, growth in grace, and the knowledge of God is what we need more of. See, there is real prosperity for the child of God, for it is an increase in these things of real value that we are to strive after in our daily life. Not an increase of temporal goods. Those things are helpful and they're good in their place. But the real heart of the Christian has to be a desire, a longing for growing in the Savior. The Lord Jesus said in John 15:3, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Clean, purity, prosperity, growing, growth. We are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. How are we doing so far this year? From January 1 to where we are now on May the 5th, have you grown? Have I developed? Am I closer to the Lord today than I was a month ago? Friend, examine your own heart. That's exactly why the Lord told us around the table of the Lord that every man is to examine himself, not to examine others, but our self-examination, which will see where we have deficiencies and come and pray for the Lord's grace to be poured in, whereby we might increase and grow in our spiritual walk with God. And again, continuing in the Word, it will prepare us for service. Daniel tells us that the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now that's not a classification of God's people, but that's for the Lord's people, every one of us. The people that do know their God. So every Christian, we know the Lord in salvation through faith. But every Christian, do we know the Lord more deeply, as we've been talking about here? You see, friend, continuing in the Word, progressing in the Word, it will prepare us for greater service in the kingdom of Christ. And the Lord is indeed working in us and through us to prepare us for glory in heaven. But that's a time down the road. What we need to be is prepared here and now for the task and the calling and the purpose and the Lord's will in our lives, what He has for us now here. Friend, are we preparing ourselves? Are we going through with the Lord? We're told about Timothy that Lois and Eunice prepared him well, faithfully bringing him up in the Word. In other words, he was taught it from the youngest of days. It was in his mind, in his memory. And so that the Lord was doing a work in him and through him. And it was a preparatory work that was being done. And therefore, we are to work in the Lord's vineyard teaching and training our children, our young people in Sunday school and Bible class and youth ministries and right up through all the Bible classes and the prayer meetings. And could I encourage you again? Encourage everyone to be sure you're at your place in the prayer meeting. Young person, college and career person, older person, let us be sure that we are there seeking the Lord, because our growth and our preparation and service, it's essential for us to take hold of the means of grace. The Lord has said that when we meet together around the Scripture and the Word is open and prayer is offered, then the Lord commands the blessing there. He commands the blessing to be poured out upon you. But if you're not there, why, friend, you miss out. We are called to continue. It will be in evidence if we are true disciples of the Lord. Because there's coming the day of trial. There's coming the day when you will be put into tribulation. And if we are not following the Lord in our proper discipleship, if we're not continuing in the Word, what are we going to do when the trial comes? We will not be strong in the Lord. We will not be enabled to stand because we have not properly prepared ourselves by the means of grace. As Paul admonished the Christians in Ephesians 6, they were to make preparation by the armor of the Word of God being placed on them. And that was most important for them, because what soldier would go out into the battle not properly prepared? It would be most unwise. And what Christian will advance in their life not being properly prepared when the trial comes? Because all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, and the trial will come, friend. And therefore we must be ready. The Lord has His intention for us in our Christian walk. And what He wants is to bring us down that road whereby we will glorify His name. We will be expanding ourselves in this ministry. We don't want to stay low in our spiritual development. We want everyone to grow stronger and stronger and to be of useful service in the kingdom of Christ. In so doing, we will demonstrate that we are faithfully the disciples of Christ. Therefore, may God enable you, may He enable me, to grow more and more in likeness to the Lord. And as I commit myself to pray for you, you commit yourself to pray for me, and together we will go on in our service for Christ in this last of the last days. Let's bring our meeting to a close tonight, please, by singing hymn number 551. Make this the prayer of your heart tonight. Take Thou our minds, dear Lord, we humbly pray. Give us the mind of Christ each passing day. Teach us to know the truth that sets us free, and grant us in all our thoughts to honor Thee. Let's stand, please, to sing. heart, mind, and will. Through our surrendered souls, thy plans fulfill. We yield ourselves to thee, time, talents, all. We hear and henceforth heed thy sovereign call. Let's bow, please, in prayer. As our heads are bowed tonight and our eyes are closed, it may be that the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight. And friend, you're wrestling with some point of surrender. Maybe it is God's pinching you now about some besetting sin, some way in which your life is dishonoring to Him, and there's need for that to be put right. Need to surrender heart, life, and soul to make it clear that you are a follower, a disciple of the Lord. If you're without Christ here tonight, the Lord is willing and able to save. Save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Christ. Dear Lord, I pray this evening that you would give grace, give saving grace. O God, I pray that we would have a double portion of sanctifying grace work in every soul. Father, we need to devote ourselves afresh unto thee. We need thy power and grace in all we try to do for thee here. It's not our work, Lord, but most definitely we are thy servants, and we need power that is not our own. So enable us today, we pray. Part us now in thy fear, and with thy rich blessing, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.